On the move, good people. Welcome back. This is Mike Africa Jr. and this is my podcast where we illuminate the struggles of the people, inform the uninformed, and give you nothing but the truth. On the Move is here to disrupt the system and spark a global revolutionary change. The change is what we need. Like Sam Cooke said, the change is going to come, but like Gandhi said, you've got to be the change you want to see in the world. And even though Gandhi wasn't perfect, he said something that was true. And when the power of truth is present, you better respect it.
True that.
Because like John Africa said, the power of truth is final. There you go. So, got to introduce our guest for the show. She's an activist, she's an organizer, and the head of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Please say on the move to my sister, Pam Africa. On the move, Pamela, how you doing?
On the move, ready.
On the move and ready. All right, Pam, so before we get into it, we're going to do Gimme Two.
Gimme Two.
So activists are multifaceted, but people think that all we do is scream and holler at people and make a lot of noise and protest, right? Mm-hmm. But we do more than that, and we have lives beyond just, you know, protesting.
That's right.
So I like to share a little bit about the stuff that we do outside of it. So this weekend, myself and Robin and Aaliyah, we had a getaway. And it's unusual for me to like take any type of vacation. But Robin was like, there's a lot going on. Let's clear your head. Let's have some fun. Take Aaliyah. And we hung out and we did that. But during this time, you know, try to get a little bit romantic while Aaliyah ain't looking. That don't really fly. It don't fly well.
Oh, I know all about that.
When it was bedtime, I found Aaliyah in the middle of the bed, right between me and Robin. Mm-hmm. It was a total vibe killer. Total vibe killer. Hashtag vibe killer. The other thing that I did that was cool is I got back in the gym. I started exercising again. You know, sometimes like, you know, I take time off to just relax, and then sometimes that time off lasts a little bit longer than I wanted it to. So, but you know, when all of this work that we're doing, you have to take time to take care of yourself and not fall too deep into not taking care of yourself. So I got back in the gym. So what you got?
Okay. Give me two. Okay. I got a good two.
You got two?
Okay. Good. It's this brother that just got out of jail after 40 something years.
Okay.
For years, Raza Khan, that's my husband, that's my mate. Mm-hmm. And we have been going and taking food to her and our cases of water and making sure that she was all right, you mm-hmm. know, because the brother was down for 40 years. She's in her 90s. Well, he came home last week.
Wow.
Right. So
congratulations on that. Yeah. Party up, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, yes, yes. So this is a good thing. We didn't go to pick him up. He's in that prison. Damn, I can't even think of the name.
Is it
of
a Pennsylvania prison?
It's Pennsylvania. It's way out. Albion. Yes.
Yeah.
So they give him, you know, Raza Khan sent him money to come home. So they gave him a bus. They went all the way throughout Pennsylvania. And then he was supposed to be in Pittsburgh at 1 o'clock, mm-hmm. catch a bus. You know, he had to wait half the night to catch a bus to go to Philly.
Uh-huh.
But what we found out that he was going, they was taking him to Baltimore.
Wow.
First. I mean,
why were they taking him to Baltimore?
They took him to Pittsburgh, and then a bus from Pittsburgh went to Baltimore. And when they got to Baltimore, we got his mom. And when we found out he was going to be there 1 o'clock in the morning, we got his mom, put her in the car, and we drove down to get him, right?
Wow.
And this is the first time I ever seen this brother.
So when, I mean, we know what it's like to see our family members welcome home after 40 plus
yes.
years, right? So when you saw his mother, did you see his mother and him embrace?
I took her picture sitting there waiting for him. This is the most, I mean, this picture is so beautiful. This elder sitting there, keep looking at the doors and all for people who was coming through. And
to I see got, her son.
Yes. I got caught it on film. And her when she saw him when he saw her. And this was such a beautiful thing to see them hug and embrace and, you know, and then Raza Khan.
Let's okay. do this. Hold that thought.
Because now, you know, I'm somebody forget that thought. Tell me to hold it.
Okay. Well, I wanted to say hold it because we're going to come back to this because the topic of the day, I think, speaks exactly to what you're talking about. With this brother coming home after 40 plus years.
Okay, you want me to do a different one?
No. So give me another one though. This is give me two. So give me another good one.
oh, okay. And
see, it comes easy to you. You be questioning, like, can I do this?
I needed a break.
Uh-huh.
I really needed a break. And also, my good friend Yane Indigo, and took me up to her house, and it is surrounded. She has, you know, this house that she have, and she have a room that's special for people who need to get away or whatever.
It's the healing space.
Yes, it is. It is such a good healing space. So I went there, you know, I figured we're going to talk. This place was so healing. I went there. Oh, Yane, first she took me to this Jamaican restaurant, and we got Jamaican food. We was going to get something else first. I can't remember what that was. But once she took me to this Jamaican restaurant, and, you know, we got food there, and all we ate. And I figured I'd go upstairs, and, you know, then we'll talk a while, and then I was going to go to sleep. Well, the bed, it was so peaceful there. I went upstairs, and in fact, no. Me and Yane fell asleep in her chair downstairs. Peace, peace, peace. All the rooms are just peaceful. And you just hugged with the peacefulness, you know, in those rooms. And we fall asleep. Then Yane, she wakes me up so we can go upstairs.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was just completely out of it. My body was like,
shut,
I'm not on, doing
like,
no
on
more.
Like relax mode.
Right. She had to actually help me up the steps, right? Mm. And, you know, I don't know what was in that Jamaican food. But she had to help me up the steps.
So you got a chance to relax and chill. And you got a much needed break.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks to our good sister, comrade sister, Yane Indigo.
Yeah, and she has so many great things that's going on there. You know,
Yane is a very resourceful. Sometimes I think about the movement and how lucky it is. Mm-hmm. And that she's in our area.
Yes.
Because she could be anywhere. She has connections all over the world, but she stays here in this area. And we really, I know how you appreciate, just listening to you and looking at the smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about it. Yeah. She's an amazing sister.
So, you know, that was, you know, was my good thing, you know. I'm really blessed. That was, I went there twice.
You went there twice.
Yeah.
And I imagine with the feeling that you have from it, you're going to go there more.
Oh, yes. I'm looking to spend. But, you know, the movement is so busy.
That brings us to this conversation.
Here I go again. All my break time goes right back into the movement.
The movement. And I think it speaks exactly to this topic.
Mm-hmm.
The topic of discussion for today is revolutionary burnout.
Mm.
And the question is, can revolutionaries retire?
No.
No.
This revolutionary, you know, once you become awake and know what's going on and you're constantly finding out more. Now, can a revolutionary, a well-seasoned, will be 75-year-old revolutionary in all come November? What I've learned, and I have people that I trust.
Mm-hmm.
People that in all these years, you know, people that will, you know, do work. You know what this one would do. And what they won't do, you know, all their comings and on what you can expect from them. And I feel completely comfortable taking my breaks, dealing with health issues.
It's important to understand that different levels of resistance. Mm-hmm. You don't have to always be in the street protesting,
right.
But you can still do something. And there's a lot of different types of revolutionaries or activists, right? There's the people that sit at home and they donate money. They don't really get in the streets. You never see who they are, but they support by donating money or writing a letter or making a phone call. What about the weekend warrior people? As long as the event is on the weekend, they're there.
Yeah.
Right? You got those people. And then you have the people that are into their jobs. Like they want their job. They want to support what you're doing. And they will as long as it doesn't affect their job.
That's right.
And all of these people are valuable to the movement. And many of them that we know, they've been doing these things for years, decades.
Mm-hmm.
They find the spot that they're comfortable in and as a way to support, and they continuously do it.
Right. I had an elder couple and all that used to bring bags of cans. They used to collect cans and every 2 weeks and all they would bring bags of cans and put on the porch. This was their way of collecting and making sure that we had some kind of money. And what they did, they got other people into it. And what they were doing was they couldn't do other things. They liked what, you know, the elder couple was doing in support.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just started, you know, collecting cans and giving it to them. So I'm saying, you know, every bit of support is welcomed and all, you know, and really, really appreciated. And because you know how much time it takes to collect trash cans full of bags of cans. Mm-hmm. And all, you know, and I can look for every 2 weeks and all, you know, the porch full of cans. And then we had supporters who took the cans and, you know, brought the money back and all for donations to help us, you know, do the things that some of the things that we need to do. And it was consistent with that till the day that they both passed.
And that support got gas money paid for, mm-hmm. copies. At the time, you didn't have email as much. Mm-hmm. People don't remember. A lot of people won't remember the days, or won't even know about the days of getting the cards from the Kinko's and making a million copies of flyers to put them out. Because now it's social media stuff.
Yes.
So you type something up, you send it through an email, and people put it on social media, and that's how they get the word out. But back in the day, we actually had to like make copies, take them to Kinko's, and give them out to people, and give up people a copy so that they can make copies at their jobs or wherever, and pound the pavement.
And do you remember when, in dealing with phone calls, like phone calls to San Francisco was long distance phone calls, and you had to pay for them. Our phone bills would be for, you know, doing work around Mamiya, sometime $900, $800, $600. We got one for $300. That was like, whoa, we got, you know.
Right.
And now you make phone calls, you know, all over. You know, back then you had to, you know, really be constantly raising money. And, you know, people would do all different kind of things to help us out because they knew the importance. And then when the phone calls was coming in from the prison.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, prison phone calls were more.
Yes.
And the prisoners had to pay for some of their phone calls, too. Mm-hmm. Collect calls and all of that.
Right.
I remember talking about this, can revolutionaries retire, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were talking one day. I was talking to Ramona.
Right.
It's weird to call her Ramona, but for the people who don't know that, we call mm-hmm. her Mona, right?
Yeah.
For talking to Ramona Africa. And Bobby Seale was saying this thing. He was saying that he was a retired revolutionary and he was going to do the Cook Barbecue with Bobby cookbook.
Right.
And I remember Ramona was so like, she was like, she was perplexed, like, retire? It didn't make sense to her. She was like, retire? How do you retire? If you're a revolutionary, you don't retire. That's where I think like a lot of people began to like kind of question this idea, like, can you retire as a revolutionary? And I think those different levels of support kind of determine your level of involvement, not necessarily your level of commitment, because you can be very committed and dedicated, just like the person who brought those cans,
mm-hmm.
right? Committed to what they were doing. If sometimes people can do 10%, sometimes people can do 100%. But they're always committed to what they're doing, right? But when she was talking about Bobby Seale, she was aggravated because to her it was like, you can't retire from something like that. Like, revolution is like religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you do.
It's a way of life.
It's a way of life. It's like, I was listening to KRS one time and he said, KRS-One said, hip hop is something you live, rap is something you do.
Mm.
And I think like, when it comes to revolutionary work, that's kind of how I feel about like revolution and activism, I guess, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, revolution is something you live. Activism is something you do. You maybe do it for a summer college program or something. But revolution, can you retire from it? Ramona didn't think so either.
You know, I mean, you know, the thought is not something that's in my mind, because when you posed that question, it was like, no.
Right.
You know, and then I turned around. I said, well, you know, for me, because each, you know, people see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I have people come up and say, girl, you still doing the same old thing? And I'm saying, isn't the white supremacist and, you know, the people that's running this government doing the same old thing? You still talking the same old talk. They still poison the water. They still poison the air. The industrial complex haven't got any better. And, you know, you got more sicknesses today than you had yesterday. And you're saying quit? I have children. I have family members. I have people I love. This is not about a day, a moment in time. You know what I'm saying? The work that we got to be doing, the thought of stopping. I mean, we have some times that we so traumatic that, you know, you just want to break down.
Mm.
And but you can't break down. You can break down for a minute, but this thing from this government is on you and pushing you so that you can't stop.
And it makes me think about what we were talking about earlier. Had you stopped, had other people stopped, the brother that just came home after 40 plus years in prison very likely would not have come home.
Right.
Because in the Move 9, they spent 40 and 40 plus years in prison. Had people stopped doing the work to bring them home, they would not have come home.
Plus, I got a beautiful example in dealing with this brother. Dr. Alan Berkman, mm-hmm. one of the people who helped liberate us out of Shakur.
Okay.
He was in prison, and he met this brother, Alonzo. I can't think of Alonzo's last name right. And he befriended him, and he introduced him. You know, I don't know how, whether Ron Colby, famous lawyer up in New York. And on this was years
ago. Ronald Colby?
Colby,
Colby, yeah. He used to work with Kunstler.
Yes. William Kunstler. Yes.
Okay.
I just met this brother about 3 years ago. My husband met him through mail and all, you know, doing, you know, wanting to care for and help other people, mm-hmm. other than people that everybody know. He said, everybody know Mumia. Everybody know. They got plenty of help, but there's people who don't have help
right.
and need help. So he took this brother up under his wing. And lo and behold, do we find out that, you know, his lawyer, and I did a lot of work when Dr. Alan Berkman got out of prison. He was in prison with Mumia, mm-hmm. saying that, you know, the revolution still goes on, because Alan Berkman, to the day that he died, was a revolutionary. They tried to break him in prison. They couldn't break him. When he got out, he was still right there on the front line, wrote a book on Mumia. And I think the name of the book was On the Move. And I can't, you know, I can't remember it. And but I know he did a piece in the back of it, you know, on Mumia. And this brother that got out of jail that we went and picked up, and because he was introduced some kind of way to Colby through Dr. Alan Berkman, who's hooked up with Asada Shakur, who this brother knows nothing wow. about, and who's hooked up, you know, who I've done work with, and you know, and brother Alan Berkman, and he's been dead a long time, and but here it is, bang, Ron Colby is the one who did the work to get this brother out. I have the utmost respect. None of all these things is connected. And you know, and how revolution just continued to flow and go through things that we have done years ago and that people are benefiting from today.
So it sounds like what you're saying is not only can you not retire as a revolutionary, revolution goes on even when you're gone.
Exactly. Exactly. I have the feeling as if Dr. Alan Berkman is right here with me. You know, it brought back all these good, good memories and strategies as well.
Mm. Why do you say strategies?
Strategies. And, you know, the things that he laid down, you know, with us. And, you know, he wrote this book. And his consistency, the way he, you know, have an understanding for other people. You know, like the brother that he took up under his wing there. Uh-huh. It's someone he didn't know. And on all the way to this day, the feeling that this brother have for Dr. Alan Berkman is the same feeling that I have. It's a thing that just keeps on giving. And Dr. Alan Berkman is alive in the hearts and souls of everybody. I feel as though I can actually touch him. I can touch his spirit. And when I grabbed that brother and 40 years, I didn't know what the heck he looked like. And I was shocked because my husband didn't either. We working and, you know, dealing with his mama and stuff. This is revolution, you know, the loving and the caring. Revolution, like Brother Shea says, guided by acts of love.
Acts of love. Well, I was going to ask you about that too. Like, I mean, how do you decide and determine who you're going to support? I mean, if you can't even see people, you don't know what they look like, but you're deciding to support them and work with them. And I guess that's what you answered with what Che Guevara said about revolution is generated through acts of love.
Right, right.
So we were talking about Ramona and her thing. She said exactly what you said. If the problems still exist, then how do you quit? How do you stop? You know, as long as these issues exist, as long as the system is polluting the air, as long as the system is hurting people, then there's no way that a revolutionary would be able to retire.
And a revolutionary, you know, also learns things, you know, like when you're talking about dealing with the air, the water, the soil, the government will give you the Clean Air Act. the Clean Water Act, and it's John Africa toward us. And it's just that. It's an act. Mm-hmm. And because if their act was getting, you know, would be getting better, you would see the evidence of this. When I learned about the issue with the water, and that was something, you know, when people was talking about fighting for the water, I'm like, what you talking about fighting for the water? And you know, the water is good. Mm-hmm. You turn on your spigot and you drink. And I wasn't into bottled water. Then I got into bottled water, and then I found out about the plastic that is in. The plastic that the water comes in, you know, is messed up. So I'm saying, you constantly teaching so that things can, you know, get better. And like I was introduced to, because a lot of people think revolution is just like you said, getting out there with a picket sign, you know, so forth and so on, dealing with police brutality. No, if you're not dealing with the things that, you know, this government have, you know, people talk about murder, mass murder, and all, you know, the mass murder of people from drinking the water, from breathing the air, and all from eating from what God gave us was pure earth to bring up good foods, and all, it's all poisons and stuff. You know, you're selling food that don't have seeds in it. Watermelons with no seeds, grapes with no seeds, and all, you know, and these are the things that, like grapes, grape seed oil, mm-hmm. is, you know, something very special to us.
There's a lot of like health benefits that are being lost.
Yes,
based on how government and science and the way they're using it to like interfere with nature's course.
And didn't have you believe that, you know, they're doing this stuff for you, because when I go to like different places, you have watermelon with seeds. Oh no. Why? Because people don't want them. That's, you know, some people don't.
The people that don't want them are the ones who don't value the seeds or don't understand
exactly
what the need is. So I guess in this conversation about revolutionaries and retiring, what it sounds like too, with a lot of people that get into it, I guess it makes me think of my parents specifically. Mm. And you too, because like y'all are the evolution of revolution. People who started out one way and have seen like the full spectrum of revolutionary, the full arc of a revolutionary life. Mm-hmm. You started out not believing, not really being involved, to understanding a little bit more, mm-hmm. to really getting involved, and then going into the speaking parts of it and the jail parts of it, and
the butt beating, leg breaking, teeth kicked out part of it, head split part of it, dropping the bomb on part of it. Yeah.
All that stuff.
Right.
That you still carry around with you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can stop you or hold you back from anything. A tidal wave comes and you still stand in full force like, yeah, let's go. But I'm saying like for some people, marching is not as much of an option as it used to be. But there's other ways that these revolutionaries find a way to contribute to the movement.
Right.
There's mentoring, right? There's this just helping people understand. And then there's a lot of things that takes people away from being able to do what they wanted to still be able to do. People get older. They have their own families and kids that they have to put first. They have their own health, their own have their own safety.
Mm-hmm.
But the true revolutionaries that we've seen always find a way to contribute to the movement.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, people in the movement has got to learn how to balance with family and the work that you do on the outside.
What do you mean by that?
You know, finding a balance with the children and all, you know, to make sure that while you're out there in the movement fighting for their lives and all, you know, that you don't lose sight of your children while you're fighting for your children and all, you know, keeping them right there, you know, on the front line with you. You just can't lose the sight of and all, you know, because like when, you know, you get involved in this and all, you can get so taken in. Like me, I got involved because I saw this horrible thing that was happening on my corner. Getting involved with that, with MOVE, and all, then I wound up more about police brutality. Because look, brothers and sisters, and all, in 1977, and all, living in the city where Frank Rizzo was at, and all, I did not believe that police brutality existed.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, yes. So, you know, Mumia wrote a piece on me called The Evolution of a Revolutionary.
Okay.
And that's when my leg was broke, and all, you know, got my leg broken City Hall, speaking out about injustice, and all, you know.
So you started out in 77, and this whole thing turned, and you didn't know that there was a police brutality issue.
You know, I heard people talk about it, but see, you got to understand, like, again, where I came from. I came from a home, you know, where, you know, my father did alcohol. He ran numbers, this, that, and the other.
For the people who want to get more in depth in that conversation, because you talked about that, so people can go check that out and hear that history, because that's
right,
really interesting.
Right,
but
right.
What you were talking about, where we were going with this, was how the kids, you can't lose sight of the kids in this movement.
Yes.
And I think that's really important, because a lot of people, if they're not careful, there's so much work to be done. There's mm-hmm. so many movements that really need a lot of support.
Yes.
And if you're not careful, you can lose sight of your kids, and you can lose sight of them, and they grow up fast. Mm-hmm. I got a 22-year-old son. And I used to take him to the movement, to the mm-hmm. activities. I took all my kids to the activities. But they are older now. And if I didn't put the time in to nurture their feelings and get them to understand who they mm-hmm. are and what they're about, and just that I love them just as much as I love this movement. Like, mm-hmm. I love them more than I love anything,
right,
actually. But sometimes if they don't get that message, then they can resent that.
And one thing about, you know, about this, you know, revolution, and all, you know, you continue, for somebody to think that they have it all and they don't need no more, they are truly wrong.
What do you mean they have it all?
You know, because some people say, you know, well, I done been there, I done that, yeah, I know all about that, yada, yada, yada. I've been through a whole lot, and all, from one end of this world to the other, and I do not feel as though I have it all or know it all. I'm constantly in a learning situation. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly in a situation where I gotta correct and check my daggone self. Mm. Hold up, sister, where did you hold up here? And I appreciate people who tap you on your back and say, sis, hold up, what are you doing? And also I'm saying, you know, you have got to be to the point of, like, when people are telling you things, mm-hmm. that you hear it, and I mean truly, truly hear it. Because some people can say, "Oh yeah, okay," and all, but no, did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Do you see the example? We are examples every day of our lives, because people are watching us and see how you handle this and how you handle that, and understand you cannot be in the world by yourself. And, you know, I have you, I have other people, you know, in MOVE. I have Yane, I have mm-hmm. Crystal, I have Gabe, I got Mama Maisha, I got people around the world, in France, in Mama Charlotte, in, you know, in Tanzania, and all, you know, I sit and I talk with, mm-hmm. and all, you know, and I get guidance from some of everybody to check me and fill, you know, fill me out, you know, because I mean, I want to talk with people, say how I feel about things, so that they can help me, and all, you know, because you don't actually see yourself.
It is a very important part of life that you allow yourself to be adjusted by people,
right?
And sometimes the adjustment might not come the way you want it to.
Exactly.
Sometimes it might not come from the people you want it to.
Come on.
And sometimes it might not be something you want to change, even if it did come from those people.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have to allow yourself to adjust, because if you do not allow yourself to adjust, the things that people were trying to pull your coattail about, they will sneak up on you, and then you'll be wishing you did.
Yeah.
And so, so I think a true revolutionary understands that. And sometimes it takes time for them to get that understanding too. Cause I think, you know, we've been in this thing for a long time. You've been in it longer than I have. Mm-hmm. And I've been in it a long time. And when you see a lot, and when you see the experiences that other people have gone through, and when you see the road that they're traveling on, you can see certain things. But mm-hmm. there's still a road that you have to travel on yourself. Mm-hmm. And you may not always understand that. You may not always see that. And sometimes the people that they may be the most unlikely of persons can say, hey, check this out. And it changes your viewpoint, and it gives you a broader perspective, and it helps you be a better you.
Yes.
By the way, episode 10. Mm. Episode 10 is the one where people can go back and listen to you talk about how you began your evolution of revolution.
Yeah. And all that was something else.
I like that the fact that you brought that up, though, about being able to allow yourself to be corrected and adjusted. Because that's a really important part of life itself, period. I mean, if you will allow yourself to recognize things that people are correcting you about, or maybe not even, you may not even see it as correction. It's just a comment or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that, having the ability to do that, allow yourself, it helps with your relationships. It helps with your children. It helps with your neighbors. If you are humble enough, it really is a very beneficial element in life itself. So I really appreciate you bringing that to the podcast today. I mentioned this thing about revolution is like religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an interesting, well, to me, it was interesting. I don't know how interesting it'll be, but in that comment that revolution is like religion, it makes me think of some of my friends who went to church, right? And when they went to church, they didn't necessarily like it, but their parents took them, so they went. Maybe they were kind of forced to believe in this Christian religion. Maybe they weren't. And the same is true for these activist movements, with people bring their kids down to these things. And as the kids get older, maybe they still come to them on their own. Maybe they don't. But it reminds me of it being like a parallel. And the thing that I came to on it is, just like religion, revolution is not something you can make somebody be. That's a choice. At some point, they have to decide if they want to do that or not. And you can't make that decision for them. You can try to bring them around so that they get involved and so that they do things. But when they get older and become their own person, they're going to make a decision. And it may be to continue in it too. It may not. I think the important thing about it is to give them the ability so that they can see what is there, so that they can make a choice that can help them in their lives.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about it. So the answer is no. Revolutionaries cannot retire.
No. And, you know, a revolutionary, if they want it, you know, and whether people understand it or not, they can't retire. They cannot.
What do you mean by that?
They cannot retire. A lot of people who are not revolutionaries at all. I can't say it all.
Do you mean like the people
the
that...
The injustices that's happening in this system every day. And, you know, because like I said, I had people who say, you know, you still doing the same old thing. Oh, I did that 10 years ago. And, you know, you still at that. And, but then you turn around and look, and some injustice, the same person who told me that, I see them.
Okay, I see what you mean.
And they're, you know, and they're coming back. The ones that are just constantly out there in this battle for, you know, their particular area that they live in, where they're growing up with children. Mm-hmm. They're in the schools battling.
I see what you mean.
They're in the community battling. They organizing and pulling people together. They do that from the time that they are young to the time that they're old, and they bring more people in doing the same thing. And then, you know, other people wind up taking it a little further. Oh, damn, look at the Black Panthers over there. Let me check them out. Let me check this one out. Let me check that one out. These people don't retire either. They don't carry the seal of a revolutionary.
So in some kind of way, they're still resisting the injustices.
Resisting.
In some kind of way.
Resisting, yeah.
All right, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks to my sister, the one and only Pam Africa, for getting on The Move with Mike Africa Jr. And to all the listeners who have tuned into this episode, if you like what you heard, tell a friend. Let them know about the On The Move with Mike Africa Jr. podcast. And make sure you're following the podcast so you never miss an episode. Till next week, On The Move. Peace out.